In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the author of Hebrews provides us with one of the great metaphors regarding the Christian life found in all of the Bible. He describes the Christian life as a race. That passage begins, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The comparison that we see in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 between the Christian life and an individual running a race is one that we can easily understand. And I find it significant that there are a number of passages in Scripture that do the same thing that Hebrews chapter 12 does. You see, all of us are, in essence, in a race, a spiritual race that will end eternally, either in heaven or in hell. And so what I want us to think about this evening is what the Bible says about running for the prize. And I want to do so by comparing what Scripture says with regard to the Christian life to a race in four specific passages. The first one that I want us to consider this evening is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. And I think when you examine 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, you will find that the Scripture tells us that we are to run with determination. That text says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." What is Paul saying in this text that will help us to better live the Christian life? Well, number one, when you examine verse 24, you see very clearly that we have to run in a manner that will enable us to obtain the goal that is set before us. And so he emphasizes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize?" And then he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it." There is a prize that is waiting for all of us with regard to our lives. The spiritual prize is heaven. And you must set your mind upon that goal. And you must be determined in order to obtain it. So how do we do that? Well, if you continue looking through 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you'll find two or three other ideas that are significant. For example, he tells us that we must run the race in a balanced manner. Look at verse 25. "Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Individuals who run clearly know the difference between running a sprint and running a marathon. It's one thing if you're running 50 or 100 yards. If that's the case, every ounce of your energy has to be exerted during the entirety of that race. But if you're running a marathon, you have to learn to pace yourself. There has to be a balance that is exhibited in the way that you begin and in the way that you end the race. And if you exert more energy in a particular section of that race, the likelihood that you'll be able to keep that pace up is certainly low indeed. We run in a manner that enables us to obtain the prize, and we do so running in a balanced manner. That's Paul's point in verse 25. The Christian life has to be a life of balance. Temperance must be a characterization of what we do. And so he says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. If we can learn anything from running, look at the way that a person who runs a marathon is almost able to regulate every mile to the same period of time. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to exert the same energy throughout our life in living for Him, that we might be able to maintain a position that we're willing to keep up as we strive to follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, what's Paul saying about running? Well, run with determination. Do it in a manner that will help you to obtain the prize. That will involve running the race in a balanced manner, but it also involves something else. It involves possessing adequate knowledge. Look at verse 26. The text continues and it says, therefore I run thus, Paul speaking, not with uncertainty. He continues, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. On more than one occasion, I have heard of runners who were disqualified when running a marathon. And the reason for their disqualification was based upon their running off of the course. They weren't certain of where they were supposed to go. Paul says, it's a great thing if you're running, but you can't just run anywhere. I think sometimes in our lives we get the idea that as long as I'm religious, that's all God expects of me. As long as I'm concerned with more than just the physical, as long as I think about spiritual things, surely that's enough as far as God is concerned. But what Paul tells us here is, you can't just run the race and run anywhere you want to run. He says, I'm running with a balanced manner, with temperance, but I'm not running with uncertainty. I know where I'm going. And he slips in another athletic metaphor here at the end of verse 26. He says, thus I fight. That's a reference to boxing. And what does he say about it? Not as one who beats the air. You can imagine the energy that would be expended by an individual who's boxing in a match and who, instead of hitting his opponent, is simply swinging his arms wildly throughout the air. That's not going to help you in any shape, form, or fashion to win the fight. And so the Christian, as he or she is seeking to live in a way that's pleasing to God, has to run with determination. That includes running in a balanced manner. That includes possessing adequate knowledge. And then, number four, and obviously it includes self-control. Look again at verse 27. He says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. I don't know the point in my life when running ceased to be fun. I look at Jake Franklin, for example, and if you watch him very long, you would see very clearly he enjoys running. He runs just about everywhere he goes, and he's quite a bit faster than we are sometimes. But I think at some time in our lives, as you grow older, maybe the running that you used to never even think about ceases to be as enjoyable. And if you want to continue to run, you have to work yourself back into that. I dare say that if you haven't been running, it would be practically impossible for you to wake up tomorrow and say, you know, today I'm going to run a marathon. The idea that Paul is stressing here is that the Christian life is something that you continually work on. There is, in essence, a building up of the strength that is necessary to do what God wants you to do. He said, I discipline my body. This isn't something that happens automatically. It's not something that takes place simply because you say, yes, I'm going to live for Christ. It takes an effort. And of course, the reason that individuals who run marathons are able to run those marathons is because they put in countless hours preparing for that task. Well, the same thing is true of an individual who's going to successfully live the Christian life. The Christian life takes, number one, determination. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, and he said, "Reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." You put forth an effort to become more godly in your life, and remember that the Christian life is much more like a marathon than it is a sprint. So, running for the prize. Number one, with determination. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Number two, not only should we run with determination, but we must run with endurance. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 17. In chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, the writer provides us with one of the most memorable sections in all of the Bible. We refer to it as the Faith Hall of Fame. By faith, and then he describes the actions of those great Old Testament characters and how they proved their steadfastness toward God by doing what God told them to do. And as he begins the section in chapter 12, he says, "Therefore, we also, in comparison, in essence, to those individuals who have gone before us, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We, if we expect to be pleasing to God in living the Christian life, not only have to run with determination, but we have to run with endurance. In essence, endurance is the key to running any distance. He said you have to lay aside every weight. If you're going to be successful in running, you're not going to be as successful if you're carrying weights along with you as if you are or will be if you'll take those weights off. You lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, that which you're struggling mightily with, that's what you've got to lay aside. And you run, as he says, with endurance. The idea of keeping on when it would be easier to quit. The idea of running that extra mile instead of stopping and walking. The idea of keeping on because you know that's what's best for you. You run with endurance the race that is set before you. It's interesting, you don't have a choice as to whether you enter this race. All of us are in it. The question is not whether you will be a part of the race. The question is, will you finish the race? Will you exhibit endurance in doing the task that God has laid before you? Well, how does the writer of Hebrews go on and talk about that endurance? Well, number one, he expresses to us that we must endure through the distractions that we will face. Verse 2 goes on to say, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you want to be serious about running, you must run. There's no mistaking that. If you're going to be serious about living the Christian life, you have to understand that the many things in this world that will ply for your attention, those things that are designed to distract you, to cause you to lose your focus on that which is most important, will do so if you allow them to. Well, how do we keep ourselves from being distracted? How do we keep ourselves from giving up what's necessary to live the faithful Christian life? You've got to focus on the goal, that is Jesus Christ. And so you look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He was able to focus and do what he came to the earth to do by thinking of the joy that was set before him. It's almost inconceivable for us to think about how the cross of Jesus Christ was a joyous thing. But Jesus understood why he came to the earth. It was to do the will of the Father. So we have to endure through the distractions that we face. And then, of course, we have to endure the chastening of God. Verses 3 through 11 set this out clearly. The text continues, "For consider him," that is Christ, "who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul, for you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. him for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If a runner chose not to run every time they had an ache in their muscles, they probably wouldn't run very much. And if a Christian chose to give up every time life was difficult, and every time things didn't seem to go as they wanted things to go, they would quit before they ever got started. There are going to be things that are going to happen to us in life that are going to be difficult. There will be challenges. And the way that we respond to those challenges that come so often in our lives will help to determine how successful we, in fact, will be. You have to run not only with determination, you have to run with endurance. That involves enduring the chastening of God. Verse 7 continues, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" Parents understand the necessity of discipline in the lives of their children. If you love your children, you're going to keep them from doing things that are self-destructive. God does the same with us by providing things that help us not to grow weak, but to become stronger. Even the burdens that we bear help us to develop the strength that is necessary to live the faithful Christian life. We understand that from a human standpoint. Verse 9 says, "Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We can benefit when we're chastened by our physical parents. And if our physical parents can do things that help us, can't God do even more? That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. We must run with endurance. That means enduring through the distractions that you face. It means enduring the chastening that comes your way by virtue of God. And it also means enduring the struggles of those around us. You see, you don't live here on this earth in a vacuum. You're not the only person here. There are others that are around us daily. And even though my life might be going exactly like I want it to go, there are others who need my help to face the difficulties that they're facing, because the time will come when I will need the help of others to bear the burden that I'm struggling with. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, because of this, because you have to endure the chastening of God, we have an obligation to help. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Are there times in our lives in which our arms are so weak they can't even be held up? Yes. What's our obligation? We're to strengthen them. You remember the story in Exodus chapter 17? The Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites. As long as Moses held the staff above his head, the children of Israel prevailed in the battle. But when his arms became so heavy, and if you don't think that wouldn't happen, try to hold even a broomstick above your head for any period of time. When his arms became so heavy that he could not hold them up, his brother Aaron and Hur, one on one side and one on the other, held and supported the arms of Moses. That's literally the idea that's being stated here in Hebrews chapter 12. You strengthen the hands that hang down. Are there individuals around you that you could help, that could benefit from what you can do for them? You help those who have hands hanging down. You help those with feeble knees. And verse 13, you make straight paths for your feet. Don't just help others and think nothing of yourself. Come to recognize that you likewise have an obligation to live as you should so that you can help others. So we have to run with endurance. That means we have to endure the distractions that are so common. It means that we have to endure the chastening of God. It means that we have to endure the struggles of those around us. And it also means that we have to endure through the temptation to live in an unrighteous way. And that temptation surrounds us almost daily. The text continues in verse 14, and it says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." There will be temptations in all of our lives to live in an unrighteous manner, but we must, rather than giving in to those temptations, endure patiently and live the faithful Christian life. And one of the ways that you do that is by learning from the examples of those who've gone before us. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily ensnares us. He gives you positive examples in chapter 11, and he gives you a negative one in chapter 12. Don't be like Esau. What did he do? Esau, for one morsel of food, sold his birthright. In essence, Esau, for a moment's worth of gratification, gave up a precious gift that he was given. It's no mistake that the writer of Hebrews likens what Esau did to fornication. An individual who gives up, whether it is his or her virginity or the sanctity of his or her marriage for a moment's worth of gratification, does what Esau did in selling his birthright for a pot of stew. We have to run with endurance. And that means enduring the temptations to live in an unrighteous way. How are we to run? We are to run, number one, with determination, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're to run, number two, with endurance, Hebrews chapter 12. And we're to run, number three, with awareness, Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. If you will, open your Bibles there for just a moment. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 7. To understand what Paul is saying to the churches of Galatia, you have to know the setting of the letter when Paul wrote it. The churches that were located in the areas of Galatia were primarily composed of Gentile Christians. But there were many individuals who were Jews who were trying to impose upon Gentiles some of the restrictions that were found in the law of Moses. Commonly we refer to those individuals as the Judaizing teachers. And so the book of Galatians is written to combat those who would have the Gentiles to become Jews or at least follow some aspects of the law of Moses in order to be faithful to Christ. Paul, in discussing that, says in verse 7, "You ran well." But then he asks a question. "Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, there are two or three thoughts that I think come from these three short verses. Number one, and I think this is significant, even the best runners can be hindered. Even the person with the most ability, even the person whose training has been the most proficient of anyone in the field, may have a problem and not win the race. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes talks about that in chapter 9 when it says the race is not to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but time and chance happen to all men. There are some times when the fastest person doesn't win the race. There are some times when the strongest army doesn't win the battle. There are times when the person who is perhaps the best qualified to run is hindered. That's what was taking place with regard to the churches of Galatia. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Let us never get to the point that we realize or that we think we can't fall. Paul said to the Corinthians, "Therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall." But then we see this secondly from this text. God is not the source of those hindrances. If there are difficulties that you're struggling with regard to the Christian life, friend, those don't come from God. God's not the one who's causing you to trip and fall so that you can't be faithful to Him. God's not keeping you from living like you should live. What God does for us and the chastening that we receive for Him is for our benefit, not
for our detriment. And so he says, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. If you're being hindered in running the Christian race, if you're being hindered, though you have at one time run well, realize the hindrance to your life doesn't come as a result of what God is doing to you. It's coming certainly from another source. And then verse 9, he continues and he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The idea is very simple. The hindrances in your life that may at first seem small can eventually cause major problems. A runner might ignore what at first is a minor injury, refusing to treat whatever the problem is because he or she doesn't want to stop running for even a small period of time. But if that minor hindrance is ignored, it will eventually become a major one. A little leaven can leaven the whole lump. We have to be aware. So what does the Bible say about running? Well, we're to run with determination. We're to run with endurance. We're to run with awareness. And then number four, we're to run with purpose. I want you to look at what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of the beautiful passages in all of Scripture, Paul's last letter that we have. He understood that the time of his life was drawing near. And he said in verse 6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now watch verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. First and foremost, the Christian has an obligation to run in a manner as to be able to finish the race. Paul didn't just say, I've done part of the race and I'm giving up because I can't get to the end. He didn't say, I've run almost all of it, but you know, my body's just worn out and I'm not going to be. He said, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. The Christian race is not something that you can get into and out of. You're in it. And what you have an obligation to do is to finish it. And so you have to order and you have to structure your life in a manner that will enable you to be able to accomplish that goal. You've got to run with a purpose. That purpose is to finish the race. And then, of course, you do so, verse 8, because of the reward that awaits you. You're motivated by the opportunity that waits at the finish line. Paul said, henceforth, because of what I've done, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. There is a reward for faithfully running the Christian race. It is the eternal home in the heavens. Why do we have to be determined? Why do we have to endure? Why do we have to be aware? Why do we have to have a purpose? It is because all of us are engaged in a spiritual race. And it is a race that you will either win or you will lose. To win it, you have to have determination and endurance and an awareness and a purpose. And above all else, you must keep your focus on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Friend, let me ask you, how are you running? Are you determined? Are you expressing endurance in your life? Are you aware of your surroundings? And are you running with purpose?